Well, time really flies. And I really hope that our Lord also have the feeling that time goes by so quickly. And may He come soon. Everything that we do, actually, in the church life is for the preparation of the soon return of our Lord. Right? No wonder Peter said we can hasten the day of His return. But if all of us, His people, His church, today we didn't care for His coming, and we're not preparing the church life, and we don't have such a hunger for our Lord to come, then of course we'll not hasten His return, but we will delay His return. Right? So may the Lord really have mercy on us. Well, tonight let's come back again and shortly to chapter 8. In chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, it says, "Now this is the main point of the things that we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens." Praise the Lord. We do have not only a Savior who died for us on the cross, but now He's the captain, as we have seen. And He's our big brother. Not only we are the brothers, but He is our big brother. And it is clearly written, He is not ashamed to call us brethren. It's really good. And if the Lord calls us brethren, how much more should we not have the feeling that we are brothers together in the house of the living God? He is the first begotten, and we are the many brethren. You know, for the Lord to be our brother means what to you? What do you think?
Close relationship.
Yes. How close? Here sits my brother. Right? Yeah. You cannot deny that wonderful relationship. We have the same father, we have the same life, we even have the same last name. Although he is registered as Chua, but he should not forget it is George So Chua. Right? You know, there is a bond. There's a bond. And this bond is not taught. You know, it's not taught. You cannot teach. You have to feel it. You have a deep realization. And nobody can really explain that kind of a wonderful relationship. And so for the Lord to really clearly says, "Go. Tell my brethren I'm going to my father, your father, to my God, and who is now your God." You know, I believe the Lord was very excited. I'll be excited. What? We are now His brethren? Right. And then the Lord said there, Because now we are all from one source. Isn't that wonderful? Where did you come from? Exactly. Exactly. No, you and I, we are from the same source. And the Lord said there, he who sanctifies. And they who are sanctified or being sanctified now are all of one source. For this reason, he is not ashamed to call us what? Brethren. Don't be surprised when the Lord calls you Brother Freddy. How are you? What? It is just a wonderful relationship, right? And I hope that we have the same kind of wonderful feeling for our brother Jesus. God being our Father and the Lord Jesus, not only our Savior, not only our Lord, not only our Captain, but even much more closer in such a sweet, wonderful relationship, our brother. Right? And how much he really cares for us. Right? And this is really wonderful. You know, such a relationship, you cannot explain. You cannot explain. But you can feel it. You can experience it. And you can see the closeness of such a wonderful relationship. Right? You remember, blood is thicker than water. This is the brother's relationship. That even the world knows that. It's really amazing. Now we have such a high priest. And remember, the Lord Jesus is a high priest, not because he's so high. Right? And definitely not in that sense. But he is fully qualified. He is very qualified and appointed by God. Appointed with an oath. It is really wonderful. And one of the points that the writer brought out is that Aaron is appointed by the law, okay? But this one is appointed by God even before the time of Aaron. During the time of Abraham, Melchizedek already showed up. What a wonderful Christ. So the Lord was already that Melchizedek. And again here, so wonderful. And we need such a high priest. We do. Don't think we don't need it. Especially with things pertaining to God. You cannot do it by yourself. No one can do it. And he today is a minister of the heavenly sanctuary. Not earthly. And this is very special right here in the book of Hebrews. And of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. Now, this verse really has been burned into my heart in this last year and a half. Because I've been asking year after year since I've seen so much trouble in the churches, Lord, what is wrong? What have we done that is not right? Why is it that there has been so much trouble? We talk about building, and in just a short period of time it fell apart. Can that be building? I already put question mark. Not that I doubt God or the truth, but my question is, Why? Is it that easy to tear down the church? That easy? Oh my goodness, I just gave a conference in Bangkok, boom, and everything fell apart. Is that easy? Right. Many years ago we were there. So many wonderful brothers and saints and family coming together. My, I've seen so much problems falling apart. My, I said, how can it be? You know, in 1975, 76, my wife can testify we was there, right? I don't know which one of you was there in L.A., you're not even there yet, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. That shows I'm already very old. When I went there in sort of situation, I was worried. I said, if the church can become like that, whereas 5 years ago, we were in the peak in 1971, 1970, 71, in 1975, 76, we were down in the valley, I said. And when will that happen to us? So I was already asking the Lord, as early as those years, Lord, why? What happened? How can a church be in the peak? In 1971, and in 1975, we are down in the valley of the shadow of death. And then again it happened. And again it happened. So, I said, Lord, what is lacking? What have we not seen? Right. How is it that a church is like this? And I prayed. And I was asking. Non-stop I was asking. Lord, how do you want to go on? I don't want to build something that falls apart. And then in the Psalms, the Lord opened my eyes to see, unless the Lord builds, then a builder builds in vain. And I told the Lord, no, okay, I surrender, okay? I don't want to do anything in vain. I have no desire to serve, and at the end everything falls apart. I better quit now. Really? And then in Psalm 147, the Lord who built Jerusalem. What did he say there? He takes no pleasure in horse's power. Horsepower, you like horsepower? For your car, okay. Is your church the car in Vancouver? No. And he also takes no pleasure in the legs of man. Wow, how's that? No horsepower, no manpower. So, that means, does it mean we don't do anything? We just quit and forget about it, right? Because we like to use manpower. Very strong. And if it's not enough, you use horsepower. If your legs got tired, you jump into your car with about 180 horsepower and take off. But for the building of Jerusalem, no manpower and no horsepower. So again, I told the Lord, okay, no horsepower, no manpower. Amen. Okay. Now, how do you want to go on? How do you want to go on? Then the Lord again opened our eyes to see. Nope. The building up of the church is heavenly. Only He can build the church. If He's not building, I tell you, whatever you do will be in vain. You may think you're very capable. You may think you are responsible. You may think, wow, you do this, we are this and that. We are right and they are wrong or whatever. Whatever. If it is not the Lord building, pretty soon, it's just a matter of time, it's going to fall flat. It's going to fall flat. Yeah. Then the Lord is opening our eyes gradually to see that the Lord is building up the true tabernacle. And the true tabernacle is a heavenly tabernacle. And He is a minister of the heavenly sanctuary. What about our service? What about our so-called ministry? We need to come to the Lord and let Him shine upon us. Let Him expose us. Let me tell you, even if you're right, you're wrong. Because just to be right according to the knowledge, it doesn't mean anything. Your person is wrong. Your heart is wrong. That is why we cannot build anything. Not man. Are you a man? What kind of a man? New man, old man, a half old, half new. Sometimes old, sometimes new. More old than new. How can we build a church? You tell me. I fully realize today it is not man's ways. It is not anything that you and I can do. Because you and I are men. The true tabernacle which the Lord erected, and not man. It's really wonderful. The Hebrews tell us very, very clearly. Yeah. So, praise the Lord. Then if we go to chapter 9 again, verse 11, concerning the ministry and the service of the Lord today. Right? But Christ came as a high priest of good things to come, the real things. The real things, the heavenly reality. Remember, whatever is written by Moses in the Old Testament days, they are copies of the heavenly things, not the real things in itself yet. But that shows us every copy has a real counterpart in the heavens, including the whole tabernacle. Now, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, now he says, not made with hands. And I believe at this point, the writer of the Hebrews, this letter, come to a realization that today's building of the Lord is not made by man, not by man's hands, not because you're so capable, not but by what you and I can do. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything, but whatever you and I can do cannot be. Yeah, cannot be. And then that is, he added, another explanation, not of this creation. Oh, wow. No man's hand, not by any man's abilities, not by the legs of man, not by horsepower, nothing of this creation. What are we going to use then? Yep, not of this creation. Of course, not with the blood of goats and calves. But with his own blood, he entered the most holy place. What is it? It's above, higher than the heavens. This is the reality of that holy place. Once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And then verse 23, therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, namely animal blood, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Remember, it's not that we don't need sacrifices, but we need better sacrifices. For Christ has not entered the holy place, the holy of holies, made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Praise the Lord. So may the Lord really open our eyes to see. This is so important for us to see. Right. Amen. And then, of course, when we go to 11, chapter 11, this wonderful city is built by God. It's a heavenly city in verse 10. The city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Really good. Whose builder and maker is God. How much you need to know God. You need a living God. You need the heavenly high priest. Without God himself, you cannot build this city. How can you build a heavenly city? Have you ever seen one? Oh Lord, oh Lord. And we all need to humble ourselves, lower ourselves, and come to this living God and says, God, I cannot build. We need you, and we need this great heavenly high priest. The building of this wonderful city has nothing to do with your ability, or you can speak well, or you can organize well, or your eldership, or you're a wonderful elder, or you're some nice, wonderful brothers, or your knowledge of the Bible. It's not built by so many books. God only gave us one book. But we are so capable, we write, human being wrote many more books. You should go to the theological cemetery in Tübingen, and you can see rows and rows and rows in the library of theological books in the last close to 2,000 years. It's quite a sight. But you know, all those books, if you put them all together, cannot be compared to the book of books. Cannot. That is why time is always a test for all of us. Time is always a test for us. Yeah, you need God. Not just once in a while. You may start with Him, you may start with the Spirit 40 years ago. You may have a wonderful experience coming out of Egypt, seeing all the miracles, crossing the Red Sea. Manna from heaven. So many things. You may have experienced so many things, but they all died in the wilderness. Yep. So, finally I realize that if you don't go to this wonderful living God, you cannot build the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. In Revelation, what did he say? Chapter 21. And I saw the new Jerusalem. Where? Coming out of heaven. From whom? From God. Definitely not from you. And not from me. Not from any of the theologians. You may boast, you know everything. It does not matter what you know. Even if you know everything, you cannot build a heavenly city. Because you're not heavenly. So everything we can build, at the end you'll see. You will see. You cannot build anything. Yeah. If you come to this point and you fall down before God, then God can do something. That's the only way. Then step by step, you will rely on this wonderful triune God. The Father, the wonderful Father, the God of glory. And then you trust in this wonderful heavenly high priest who was perfected, who was at the same time the captain of our salvation, our sanctifier, the builder, the one who is able to help us. He is the way. I may even know the right doctrine. It does not matter. Maybe I have the wrong doctrine. Who knows? I may be right and you're wrong, or you're right, I'm wrong. Neither of us could build the heavenly city of Jerusalem, the new heavenly Jerusalem. How can an old man like you and me build a new Jerusalem? Or are you already perfect? So if man will not fall down before this living God, there is no way you can build anything. What do you like? Nice music? Many activities? Nice programs? Big meeting hall? Nice choir? Like I said, that mega church, wow, was so popular in Singapore. The whole directorship ended up in prison. It was very successful. This is what man can do. And if the government doesn't get you, one day when the Lord comes, the fire will get you. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of time, okay? So don't wait until the Lord comes. Today, and we do have a burden to build. It's not that easy. No wonder. Chapter 12 says here, the Lord is going to shake. Yet once more, when Brother Emery read this to us. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more, and once more means it is necessary. If it's not necessary, then there's no need to once more. But if any time it's necessary, there will always be once more. I've seen already many once more. I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. This verse is a quotation of Haggai chapter 2. And in Haggai chapter 2, the shaking refers to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So his coming has to do with the shaking. You want him to come? Really? You know what he has to do before he comes? Shake. You want to be shaken? You have nothing to be shaken? Who doesn't have anything to be shaken? No? You're unshakable? What does the Song of Ascent say, Toby? What is like Mount Zion that is unshakable? He who trusts in the Lord. What does it mean you trust in the Lord? Does that mean you fully rely upon Him? Just like the Lord when He was on this earth, He fully relied on the Father for everything. Not that He did nothing, but whatever He did it with the Father. He never did anything by himself. That is trusting him. But you're trusting him. I don't have to do anything. I go to sleep and trust him. He'll do it. This is your trust, so-called. Your lazy trust. This is your version of trust. But to fully rely upon this wonderful God, because only He can do it. Yeah. Where is Christian? Yeah? Hmm.
He went home.
Oh, he went home.
He went home with baby.
Yeah. Somebody told him, what are you doing here in a meeting hall? Go to your heavenly Jerusalem. What are you doing here? Right? You were there too, yeah. You were there too. What can you say? Yet once more indicates, listen again, let it remain in your heart and be written in your heart. It indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, man-made, even of this creation made by God, of the old creation. There are many wonderful things of the old creation, but don't use them for a building of the new Jerusalem. Everything in the new Jerusalem is new. It is heavenly. Things that are being shaken will be removed. Things that are made, that are things which cannot be shaken, may remain. What are the things that cannot be shaken? Today you see so many things being shaken again. I've seen it many times. I've seen shaking many times. So I hope that after this conference in the book of Hebrews, we all will cry out to the living God and said, help us, O God, for your name's sake. Because this is what you desire. And like Abraham, we are looking for this heavenly city. And tomorrow it is your job, relying on the living God, to convince us that we don't have any continuing city here. Yeah. But we are waiting for the heavenly city. Right. So, amen. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, the church is the kingdom. Zion. You only talk about a body of Christ. Body of Christ. First of all, it is of Christ, okay? It's not your body. And you're not the head of the body, please, okay? Who is the head? Naturally, of course, the head is Christ. Head over how many things? All things. And are you his deputy? God appointed you to be his deputy, huh? If God appoints you, he appoints you to be a slave. Nothing more than that. Nothing higher than that. He didn't appoint you to rule over, tell the saints what to do, and nobody can tell you what to do. Not even the Lord can tell you what to do. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Let us have grace. The church is a kingdom. The heavenly kingdom. Kingdom of the heavens. When we had this conference, some people dislike this. But it doesn't matter. It's the kingdom that we want. It is the kingdom. What do you want to be when the Lord comes back? So how are you going to be in that kingdom when it comes if today you're not in his kingdom in reality? That means to let him rule over you. Right. Since therefore we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. What is this grace for? To help you out of trouble? That you don't have to do anything? Hallelujah, it's free, right? Remember, grace is given to you to train you. By which we may serve God acceptably. Praise the Lord. With reverence and godly fear. With reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. So you can really see, by this time, the writer of the Hebrews saw and began to realize, just like all of us here, previously we didn't have this realization. Did you? Previously we thought, well, we can do it. As long as we have a very capable brother. Right? Apostle sent by God. I heard somebody says he's the apostle. But then the Hebrews tells us, no, he's not. He is. Do we have an apostle in the church? Yes. A holy apostle. The apostle. Our Lord. He is the unique one sent by God to accomplish God's will and purpose. Don't say we don't have an apostle here. We do. Yeah. We do have an apostle here. And we have a wonderful great high priest. So may the Lord open our eyes here. Right. Don't think it's so easy to be the church. And please don't think that we don't believe in one city, one church. But I tell you, even if you believe that, it depends on how you understand it. Tell me. There's a group there not too far away in Orange County who also believe in one city, one church. Okay. And you don't have to go too far away. You can go to Huntington Beach. Yeah. And the neighboring city, Irvine. How about that? Tell me, are they the church? Oh, you came out from there. You mean to say you left the church? No, that's a big problem now. Don't say yes so quickly. Because when I was kicked out many years ago in 1987, they told people, John so left the church. I didn't say yes. I said, no, you left the church. Not me. You left the church, not me. Because I'm practicing the true oneness. The oneness of the Spirit with the triune God. You think without the triune God, you're against the triune God but keeping the oneness? Is that possible? At that time, all the churches were just keeping the oneness with their apostle. And their apostle is untouchable, infallible, appointed by God, divinely. He's the oracle of God. Whatever he says, count. If I don't believe that, you kick me out. So, are they standing on the ground of oneness? Yes. But their oneness is their apostle. But that is not this heavenly oneness. That is not the oneness of the Spirit. That is not the oneness of the triune God. The authority is not that of God. It's that of man. So if that man is wrong, you still have to follow. One city, one man's church. Is that one city, one church? Yes. But one city, one... I don't know what kind of a church. One man-made church? I don't think you probably... I don't need to say more, right? Because you know what I'm talking about. Strictly speaking, you cannot see a verse that says one city, one church. But it is very natural when there is the real heavenly oneness, the church built by Christ, it is naturally in every locality, only one church. But if it is man-made, then you have many, 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 many different kinds of churches, right? But if you extract that into a doctrine and you're no longer in life, then that one city, one church as a dead doctrine will be for a dead church. And you will become a prisoner in that one city, one prison. Don't say, oh, John So doesn't believe anymore in one city, one church. What do you mean, whether I believe or not? It doesn't really matter to you, right? It's not that I don't believe. It's now that I'm more clear now. Even our brother Watchman Nee changed because he saw more. In 1937, he wrote a book concerning our mission, the normal Christian church life, the ground of the church. And he emphasized in that book the ground of locality, the boundary of locality, and one city, one church. That in every locality, God wants to build only one church. But listen, you cannot doctrinize that. It's just a reality. It's just a fact. How many head can you have? Do you need a doctrine for that? No. It's just a fact. If somebody has a baby and all of a sudden the baby was born with two heads, oh, that is not good. That is not normal. Right? Yeah, you just graduated medicine. Have you ever saw a medical principle in gynecology that says if you give birth, please, you can only give birth to a baby with one head? Did your professor teach you that? The first thing you need to know when you're helping a mother to give birth to a baby is the principle of one baby, one head. You better invent that doctrine. Write a book about it. There is no need for the Bible to give us such a doctrine, because it should be just a normal thing. But the more important thing, later, you see, I love Germany. Ten years later, in 1947-48, watch when he talk again concerning the ground of the church. And the first thing he talked about is the authority of the Holy Spirit. He says, this is the first point. Because if the Holy Spirit is not the head anymore, and remind you, the Holy Spirit is Christ. The Lord is the Spirit. And if Christ is no longer the head of that church, you can have a doctrine of one city, one dead church, whatever church you talk about. It doesn't really matter. You don't need to talk about it anymore. If you have no A, the point A is missing, you jump to B, it will be very difficult. Does your alphabet start with B or A? What did you learn in school? Ah, I forgot your name. Jackie. Yeah, thank you. B, C, D, E, F, G, H. Is that the way you start? Huh? Which one do you start?
A.
Start with A. A. You have to start with A. If you want to talk about the ground of the church, you start with A. If man replaces the authority of the Holy Spirit, you can forget about the one city, one church. Because that's B. The ground of locality. But without the authority of the Holy Spirit too, you can forget about even talking about the church. You replace the head, what body? If you cut off your head, you're nobody. Not only you have nobody, but you become nobody. You're nobody. You may still run around, maybe, I don't know, in the first few minutes, but nobody will know whose body that is. Because you can only identify the body by the head, of course. Nobody takes a picture on cut off the head. If you tell them, oh, that is Imanu. Who is Imanu? How does he look like? It doesn't matter, just look at the body. How about that? Forget about it. Actually, one city, one church. It is meaningless without the authority of the Holy Spirit. Don't say, oh, Johnso doesn't believe in one city, one church. Well, it's not a matter of whether I believe it or not. It's just very normal. You believe one city, one church, but that's all you have. What's the use? We want to build the church on the principle of one city, one church. Suppose the Mormons do that tomorrow. Are they the church? But one city, one church, my brother. You don't believe in one city, one church, huh?
I didn't say that.
Huh?
I didn't say that.
Then how come you said it, if the Mormons take the ground, one city, one church, they're not a church?
Is the Spirit the authority in the Mormon church?
That's right. Joseph Smith was the founder, not Jesus Christ. So it is not that simple. Many years ago, yes, I thought it was that simple. But today I say, oh my goodness. Right. The church is much, 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 much more. The heavenly nature, the foundation, the cornerstone, the content of the church, the nature of the church. Did the book of Hebrews talk about one city, one church? May the Lord really change our concept. And I believe this is very important for us to see today. That we will not be deceived. Right. But that we will see it is much, much more. Now, may the Lord open our eyes. That is why the Lord has to shake. If the Lord doesn't shake. So then, this morning we saw, in order to really build up this heavenly city, you need the faith of Abraham. Right? And all of these people here. Don't just look at the definition. You should look at the reality. And Brother George was right. After you read all these, then you will appreciate what James says. Faith without works is dead. That means faith must be substantiated. And the work is not doing something for God. Abraham, what did James mention about the work? He offered up his son. That is work. And here you can really, really see, right? How Abraham offered up his son Isaac. Because he believed in the living God. What did he believe in God? About what? What God do? I will offer up my Isaac because God said so. That he will raise Isaac from the dead. And indeed he did. He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. First he sacrificed his son, then on the third day he raised him up. What a wonderful God. The God who raises the dead. You believe in such a God? Abraham did. And so you can really see this wonderful history of people who experience this wonderful living faith for the fulfillment of God's purpose. If you don't have that faith, you say, oh, these people, they don't believe in the ground of the church anymore. They just believe in going to heaven. No. You have to really see this. We need this wonderful substantiating faith. faith itself is not the substance, but it is the substantiating power that calls things not being into being. This is a quality of the living God. And that here you can see right in chapter 11, verse 3, by faith we understand that worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Right? The substantiation of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right here in verse 1. You haven't seen it. It's not there. How are you going to make it there? By faith in what? In the Word of God. Without faith, you cannot substantiate. And you cannot substantiate things that God did not say. If God didn't say it, you can believe all you like, nothing is going to happen. But if God promised you, if God said so, if it's the Word of God that is living and powerful and so effective, and if you mingle it and using this wonderful faith, it will substantiate. And then you will see the evidence of things not seen, called things not being into being. Only God could do it. As that's how he created this universe. All the things that you see today, it's not made of things that were existing. And how did it exist? Big Bang Theory? That's why nobody knows how this universe is created, because God just spoke it into being. And now faith is that power. I don't even know how to explain what kind of a word to describe it, because there is no such thing on this earth. But if you have that faith in the living word promise of God, then that faith will substantiate it. Just like when the Lord says, let there be light. All of a sudden the light was there. Our God is a God who calls things not being into being. And now he is giving us the living, precious faith. And with that faith, you can call the things not yet being, not yet seen, promised in the Word of God into being. You can substantiate it. No, because you're so capable. Right? But because God has given us this wonderful living faith. Right? Look at Daniel. Daniel is a wonderful man, called beloved, the well-beloved. God loves Daniel. Don't ask me why, but God loves him. He loves whoever he loves. Right. And Daniel had experienced so much. And he has seen so much. Right? So may the Lord really help us to touch the reality of every chapter. And sure enough, if you truly want to exercise this living faith, then you have to be a partaker of His holiness, righteous, sanctified, And how is he going to do that? Chasten you. Yeah. Otherwise, we think we can substantiate things for myself, right? After we substantiate so many things, you became the head. And you want to be the top dog. That's why the Americans use this terminology, top dog. Because when you're top, you become a dog. Not simple. Right. Right. So this morning when our brother talked about chapter 12, there is such a need of that chapter. And it doesn't mean that you're wrong. The Hebrews, they love the Lord. And they truly believe in the living God and accept the new covenant. That was not easy for them. And so they are experiencing a lot of persecution. They lost their possession. Right? They lost everything, right? It's written there. You can really see. You read it for yourselves. And so many of them are shrinking back. You should sympathize with them, don't you? Because, hey, you and I, if we are going through such a persecution, I will really understand if you lie to them. Okay, I'm going to give up my faith, okay? Don't kill me. What are you going to do? But the Lord didn't sympathize with them in that way. And the Lord uses that to chasten them. We call it persecution and trouble, and people giving you trouble and difficulties, right? What do you call that? You call it persecution, right? Here it says chastening. Chastening. Oh Lord, the Lord despised the shame, went to the cross. And then here, right in chapter 12, you have not yet resisted bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, my son. What did he say? Do not despise the chastening of the Lord. That is in Proverbs, right? Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. Well, if people persecute you, on one hand, of course, that's... You can blame them, right? But on the other hand, there is a chastening of the Lord. So don't be mad. Don't be mad. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. So, in this particular situation, the chastisement came from the persecution. Yep. It's not even their fault in a way. And they were persecuted because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? You think it is right to be persecuted? Do they need to be chastised? Disciplined by God? Would you call that chastisement? Yeah, she says, yeah, here, but she didn't agree too much. We are the same. I don't agree. I will never call it chastisement and discipline, and much less will I call it the love of the Father. Will you call it the love of the Father that you're being persecuted? Oh, God loves me, that's why I'm being persecuted. Will you say that? No. You will not. But God uses that to chasten us, to perfect us, to sanctify us. And that is why many times we miss a lot of opportunities, because that's His fault. It's not my fault. It's His fault. Right? And it's your fault. Yeah, it's your dad's fault. Yeah, it's your mom's fault. And right? If you do that, you miss the loving chastening of the Father. And many of us, we missed a lot of opportunities. Yeah. And then we become bitter. Why should that happen to me? And God probably didn't love me. God didn't care. I did so much for Him. I was so faithful, and look what happened. Right? No? No. Praise the Lord. We're starting to learn something, right? Right. But praise the Lord. There are many, many ways that God would use to chasten us. The Lord showed Paul what a very wonderful revelation which no other person, no other apostles really have gone through. And because the Lord was afraid that Paul might become what? Proud. Arrogant. Pride might take over him. What does the Lord do? He gave him a thorn in the flesh. It's very good. It's done out of love. Right. So there are many ways that the Lord will use to chasten us. May the Lord open our eyes to see. This chastening is very, very necessary. It's part of our perfecting process that we have to go through. No one can go around that stage. You cannot jump over that stage. Right. O Lord, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And already this morning we see how important it is. All the fathers, mothers chasten their children. It's because of love. You don't want to see your son to be a bastard. Right? Do you? Right. So, praise the Lord. Right. Yes, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Trained by it. If you are not trained by it, you murmur, or even you escape, you run away, then that chastening will have no effect on you. No effect. Yep. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, because they were really about to give up. Make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Praise the Lord, and pursue peace and holiness without which no one will see the Lord. It's so good to see the Lord in many different trials. If you only see problems, that's not good. But praise the Lord, you learn to see the Lord.
Amen.
And that eventually becomes a chastening, a process of perfecting you in your life. Right? So may the Lord really have mercy on us.
Yes.
Otherwise, our brother already shared concerning the root of bitterness. The root, yeah, you better get rid of the root. Otherwise, you cause trouble for yourself and defile many others. That's worse, because it's not just trouble for yourself. Because anyone who has that kind of a root, he will not be happy just keep it for himself. He will have to spread that thing there. Yep. And by doing so, you'll sell your birthright. You will lose your birthright. You will lose a real proper church life. Remember, what is a church now, the definition? One of the definitions there? The church of the firstborn. Suppose you sell your birthright. Then you're no longer the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn and sold his birthright to Jacob. Oh Lord, no good. That is not good. So if you sell your birthright, you will definitely not enter into the kingdom. That is why here we have come to heavenly Zion. Praise the Lord. The church, the city of the living God. It's a city. Not so easy. Huh? Not just a house. A house is simple. More simple. Right? Suppose you have to take care of the city of LA. You already have trouble taking care of your house, right? About taking care of the city of L.A. Would you do that? Would you be very happy if the mayor comes and says, oh, mercy. Have mercy on us. Please take care of the city of L.A. for us. Would you accept? It's not easy. It's not easy. You think the church is just this few people here, right? It's the city of the living God. It's his kingdom. The place where the Lord rules, not you. The heavenly Jerusalem to an innumerable company of angels. And you have to realize that all the angels are looking, watching. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy chapter 3? The mystery of godliness, it's seen by
angels.
Seen by angels. A lot of angels watching. It's exciting. Because the angels are waiting and also wanting to see. The Lord has paid such a great price for his people and look what they're doing down there. You think nobody's watching you. Yeah. Innumerable number, company of angels. That is why even if one person repented and saved and accepted the Lord, baptized into Christ, well, there's rejoicing. The angels will be dancing up there. I don't know what kind of a dance, but they'll be dancing. They'll be rejoicing, happy, celebrating. But we, one person received the Lord. Oh, yeah, one more trouble. Oh, let's hope he is okay. Yeah. Wonderful. And the festal gathering. If you have a footnote there in your Bible, it will tell you festal gathering, because every gathering of the church is keeping the feast. You have to realize Jerusalem. God told them 3 times a year all the male must come. So that means whenever they come, what do there in Jerusalem? They keep the feast. So any time, 3 times a year they come together, it's always a festal gathering. It's a gathering to keep the feast. Not to do something else. Yeah, the festal gathering, wonderful. Festal gathering. The church of the firstborn. Wow. Registered in heaven. I like that. Are you registered in heaven? What do you do if you're registered in the school? Stay home?
No, I have to go.
You go to class. You go to school. Right? Are you just registered in heaven? That's it? Tell me, if you're registered in heaven, you should be there. You should be there. You should live a heavenly life. You should learn heavenly things. You should learn to think heavenly. That's why in Colossians, Paul tells us, since you died with Christ and rose with him and he is your life, what do you have to do? You think of the things below.
Above.
Above. You set your mind on the things above. You seek after the heavenly things, for Christ is. Are you doing that every day? Yeah, you go to school every day, right? Why? You're registered. You're a student there. Are you allowed to skip class? No? What if you skip class 3 times a week?
You wouldn't learn anything.
Is that all? You won't learn anything? You'll be expelled. If I were a teacher, you might as well stay home, okay? You don't have to come. Next year, if you change your mind, you can still come. Registered in heaven to God, the judge of all. I like to really underline that. And to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Amen.
We don't have that concept. We should be perfected. And it is by our spirit. Right. Then you have our Father being the Father of spirits in chapter 12. And you have the dividing of soul and spirit in chapter 4. And then at the end of chapter 12, here you have the church is where the spirits of just men made perfect. Yeah, we are here to be perfected. And praise God to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Hallelujah. And here we are learning the real thing. The covenant. To know God. To know the reality. Not to learn doctrine only. Right? So that every one of us in a church life will know God. And no one need to teach you to know God. To know doctrine, maybe somebody has to teach you. But to know God, you know, it depends on you. How often he talks to you and you talk to him. You have to know God in a living way. Right. into the blood of the sprinkling, praise the Lord, for the blood, because we are still not perfect. But if you take the blood, you need to repent. I think repentance is not in the vocabulary, at least in the consciousness of so many saints today. Oh, just take the blood. You don't even say, sorry, Lord. Take the blood. There's no remorse. There's no repentance. Right. There's no real change. Because repentance means a change of direction. A U-turn. No. You just take the blood. No. No wonder it doesn't work. Right. The blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise the Lord. And see that you do not refuse him who speaks. Amen. May the Lord have mercy on us. You know, the whole book of Hebrews has become very practical, real for all of us. When you go home after the conference, ponder on these things. Get into these things. Maybe tomorrow we'll continue. Otherwise, it's too late, because there are a couple of more points that I'd like to emphasize. Right? But tomorrow we'll do it. May the Lord have mercy on us. These are very important. Let us all learn. Amen. Hebrews is not for elementary school. The book of Hebrews is solid food. Amen. Amen.